I'm delighted to welcome back to the Mike Gallagher Show the Assistant to the President, Deputy Chief of Staff, and Senior Advisor, Mr. Karl Rove. Karl, how you been?
Fabulous. How about you?
Fabulous. If I was any better, be against the law, I think. Hey, Karl, before we dive into to why you're here, and I'm really interested, a lot of people are calling and talking a little bit about the seemingly complicated formula of Social Security, and I don't think it's complicated at all. I think the president's plan is dead on. But let's talk. I wanted to ask you something. I want to float something by you. In the talk radio world, there's something in the air. There's something going on about in 2005. You know, the election is over. You know, if you feel the way you and I do, our side won. And yet, it seems to be an effort underway in America to focus on what unites us as a people rather than the constant drumbeat of partisanship. Now, is that heresy to somebody like you who's made his living successfully getting, candidates elected and doing such a great job and advising somebody like President Bush, or do you think that makes sense?
Well, look, I think there's an ebb and flow of politics. I mean, during the campaigns, things sort of heat up and it's legitimate and appropriate for people to talk about their differences and sharpen them up and take the partisan, take the partisan stance. But between elections, the country, if it's going to function, the partisanship has to decline a little bit, and people have got to look for a way to work together on big problems rather than just simply, throwing political rhetoric at each other.
I've seen President Bush talk about this, and you have too. You know, one of the hallmarks of his whole political career has been this bipartisanship theme. I mean, he was great at it as the governor of Texas and certainly tried everything he could in the first term.
Yeah, well, look, and we do have strong tax cuts passed because we had bipartisan support, education reform passed because of bipartisan support, Homeland Security Department was created with bipartisan support eventually. Judges have been approved when bipartisanship breaks out. The Iraq war resolution passed because of strong bipartisan support. The war supplementals passed. I mean, it happens.
Sure.
But, the whole system had gotten out of whack during the 90s, and we're still living with the legacy of it in which, people say, harsh things with an eye towards sort of, quote, winning the news cycle or, quote, winning the news bite, end quote, rather than trying to get something done. I mean,
sure.
The president's attitude is you can't go out and say ugly things about people and then the next day expect to be able to work with them, call them up and say, now let's work together. So you'll notice in what he says and does, sure, he's clear about what he wants to do, and sure, he's clear about policy differences, but he treats his political opponents with respect and dignity, and you'd never see him saying some of the things that routinely pass the lips of most Washington politicians.
That's incredible. I mean, you are so right. Let's talk about what's right on the lips of a lot of Washington politicians right now, and that's how to fix Social Security. There's a great full-page spread in USA Today this week, Social Security's Generation Gap, and it featured an article by a 26-year-old freelance writer who basically said, like it or not, Social Security is a pyramid scheme that we got to get rid of. And she kind of embraces the theme that President Bush has, and that is Americans prefer the ability to control our own financial destiny with being able to divest Social Security funds into personal accounts. Can you help us understand what's on the table here in layman's terms, Karl?
Well, look, I'm not certain I'd call it a Ponzi scheme, but Social Security is going to be broke. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's from 1946 to 1964, we had the so-called baby boom, where we had lots of people born. Starting in 2008, those people start to retire. So what's going to happen is we're going to go from a system that, when it was founded, had over 40 workers paying into the system for every retiree. By the 50s, it was 16 workers paying into the system for every retiree. Today, it's about 3.3 workers for every retiree. And within our lifetimes, it's going to be 2 workers for every retiree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Social Security is a pay-as-you-go system. So the money paid into Social Security doesn't get saved. It gets spent. It gets spent primarily on the current benefits of current retirees, and if there's any left over, what happens is the federal government borrows it and spends it on the rest of government, promising to repay it at some later date. So what we've got is a situation where a smaller number of workers are supporting a rapidly growing number of beneficiaries who've been promised a benefit that has grown faster than inflation, faster than wages, faster than the economy as a whole, and is unsustainable. We have right today nearly an $11 trillion obligation on Social Security, for which we do not see the money in the future.
I know. I mean, I scratch my head because every Democrat, it even seems like getting back to again, you know, partisanship again. Bill Clinton used to say, "You, we got to save this whole theme. We got to save Social Security. Got to save Social Security." Democrats said, "We got to fix." And then President Bush comes up with a viable, tangible plan and a concept. And right off the bat, Democrats say, "Nothing wrong with Social Security."
Right.
So which is it? I mean,
it's a problem, and I mean, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no getting around it. In 2008, the payments into the Social Security system will peak and begin to decline. The so-called surplus, the money that we're supposedly setting aside to meet future obligations, by 2018, we'll be in a place where the system will begin paying out more each year than it's taken in, and by 2042. Somewhere, the Social Security Administration says 2042, others say slightly after that, the system's going to be broke, bankrupt, not able to meet its obligations. Mm-hmm. And overnight, anybody who's dependent on Social Security is going to see a dramatic decline in their benefits, or that smaller pool of workers is going to see a horrendous increase in their taxes, or some combination thereby. Mm-hmm. Senator Lieberman put it best the other day. He said, "If every year we delay trying to solve the Social Security problem, we add $600 billion to the ultimate price tag for solving the system." Now, think about this. If we raise taxes today to the level necessary to fully fund the obligations of Social Security, the average family of four making $40,000 a year would pay $1,400 more a year in taxes.
Right.
And not only that, but that $1,400 would be matched by another $1,400 from their employer, so we'd be taxing every job in America $2,800 a year. Now, does anybody think that's not going to have a huge impact on our economy? It's going to cost people their livelihoods and hurt their standard of living dramatically, all because politicians in Washington aren't facing up to the fact that we got a problem and we got to deal with it.
Senior Advisor to President Bush, Karl Rove, our guest here on the Mike Gallagher Show. In the minute or two we have left, Karl, how confident are you? How good do you feel about the president's plan gaining momentum, gaining traction, and actually succeeding?
I feel good. The American people, this is an issue where attitudes are changing. You know, there's that survey showing that younger voters believe they're more likely to see somebody emerge from a UFO than they are to get a Social Security check. I mean, I've been meeting particularly with a lot of Democrats. There's a Democrat trustee on the Social Security Administration who is a professor at Syracuse, a former staffer for Daniel Patrick Moynihan, the respected senator from the state of New York.
Right.
He told me that his biggest problem in talking to his undergraduate classes about Social Security is convincing them that there'll be anything there for them.
Right.
So this is an issue that's changing. Americans are comfortable with the notion of being able to have the choice of taking some of the money that they pay into Social Security and instead put it in a personal retirement account that they own, that they control, that they can pass on to their kids, that can be invested in a conservative mix of bonds and stock mutual funds, just like the thrift savings plan that federal employees have, where we have a limited number of very secure options. Because, you know, Albert Einstein was right. He said the most powerful force on the face of the earth is the power of compound interest. And if you can get if you can only get 2% in Social Security, but you can get 4.5% or 5.5% or 6% in your personal account, you're talking about the difference over a lifetime of hundreds of thousands of dollars that somebody can save for their retirement.
You know, you're right on track as always, Karl Rove. It's great to hear your voice. Keep fighting the good fight, and please know how much all of us appreciate your time here on the Mike Gallagher Show.